Hi, friends. Welcome to the By Faith Podcast. I'm your host, Christine Hoover, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week this season, I'm talking with a guest about how they're using their unique gifts and talents in their specific context and season of life. My prayer for you is that by listening to these conversations, you will be encouraged, challenged, and equipped to step out by faith using your particular gifts for God's glory. This episode is graciously sponsored by The Good Book Company, publisher of Five Things to Pray for Your Kids, a book by my friend Melissa Kruger, where she takes us back to the Bible to show us what God's will for children is, so we can pray for them in line with that. She selects 21 key areas of spiritual growth and character development, and for each one, there are five short prayer prompts drawn straight from the Bible. For more information about Five Things to Pray for Your Kids, go to thegoodbook.com. So far in this season dedicated to serving by faith, we've heard from Missy Branch about serving in obscurity and waiting on God's direction, from Jared Wilson about what spiritual gifts are and how we know for serving the Spirit's strength, from Caroline Cobb about serving through creativity and songwriting, and from Christy Purifoy on cultivating a sense of place and relationships in our homes and communities. I hope you've been tracking with me and learning a lot. If so, I would love for you to help me in two ways. One, please share these podcasts with a friend or two and invite them to join in this discussion we're having. And two, I'd love it if you'd leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. That really helps me get the word out about By Faith. Thank you so much. Friends, I'm so excited about today's conversation with my friend Lori McDaniel. I've been waiting to share this conversation with you. Lori works for the International Mission Board as a church mobilizer, which basically means she mobilizes people to go, to get out on the mission field and share the gospel with others. In the past, she served as a missionary, and she's planted a church alongside her husband, who still pastors the church they planted, by the way. Lori is a leader, and I've been personally so encouraged by her example and her wisdom, so I wanted you to hear from her as well. In today's episode, Lori and I talk about the gift of leadership and how she knew she was a leader, what challenges she's faced as a leader, and what leadership looks like for women in complementarian church contexts. This is a good one, you guys. So friends, here is my conversation with Lori McDaniel. I am so excited to get to welcome my friend Lori McDaniel to the podcast today. Hi, Lori.
Hey, I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here. I love getting to talk to you. Anytime I see you, I remember one time seeing you at a conference where we just sat down in the hallway. I don't know why we sat down on the ground in the middle of the conference and just had a conversation. And every time I do that, I just love picking up little pieces of wisdom from you.
Well, that goes both ways, honestly. The hallway, or I think we sat in a back seat of a van one time, and it was like the ride there was an hour, but it felt like 10 minutes because it was like, okay, like our paths don't cross often enough.
Yeah, yeah. And I just love to pepper you with questions. You and Kathy Litton, if I can get y'all in a van for an hour, I'm gonna get some stuff out of you, right?
So but she has a lot of wisdom, so like I would like to get her in a van with you, and so there's a lot to learn from Kathy.
She does. So for anybody who doesn't know you, Lori, will you introduce yourself and tell us what you're doing?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I'm married to Mike, who is a pastor at a church that we planted 17 years ago. It's hard to believe. Wow.
Before church planting was cool, Lori McDaniel was planting a church.
That's actually, there's some truth to that. So when we planted our church, like there were other churches in the area going, what, why are you doing that? So it was kind of, unique and different. I'm a mom of three. And so we've just entered into a new season of life where empty nest is now the common phrase around here, but it's only been that way for just a few months, so I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Yeah, how are you feeling?
You know, at first I didn't like it because we missed everyone, and then I didn't like it because we lost the dishwasher and the laundry folder. You know, it's like, who's going to do all these chores? And then Mike and I kind of looked at each other. It was like, hey, we love us, you know. But then the kids come home, and it's like, oh, this is awesome again. And then after a week where all the dirty dishes are back, it's like, yeah, no, we like emptiness. So I'm confused. I don't know if I like emptiness or not. Depends.
Tell us where all your kids are and what they're doing.
Yes. So my oldest is 26, which, wow, I just really dated myself with that. And she's married and just finished nursing school. She and her husband are exploring what missions could like look like for them to move overseas. So that's on the horizon. Then I have our second, who's 24. He is a first lieutenant in the Army. And so he just got back from his first deployment.
Oh.
In Georgia currently. And then we have a 19-year-old who just completed his first semester at Liberty University. So okay. we have some exciting times with them.
I'm still waiting for you to come to Charlottesville when you go visit your children at Liberty. So come by and see me. So Lori, when I think of you, two words come to mind.
I didn't tell you what I do.
Oh yeah. Tell us what you do.
So I currently work at the International Mission Board. So my husband and I were missionaries for 4 years in Zambia, Africa. And 5 years ago, I took a job at the International Mission Board. And so I'm working there in mobilization. So really have a fun job of really kind of getting to light a fire under people in churches to helping them explore what it looks like for them to be involved in missions globally.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to hear more about that in a bit. But now, do you want to hear the words that come to mind when I think of you?
This is going to be good. Should I get a pen and paper?
No, I think that of you as an adventurer. That's you are a risk taker and you go get it. Like you're a go getter, but also leadership comes to mind. Do you think, are those kind of accurate to your life? You think?
Yeah, no, definitely. Adventurer all the way, kind of go get it. If you tell me I can't do it, I'm probably going to try to prove you wrong. But you know, and yes, leadership or leader for sure. But I don't think I gravitated toward owning that until later on in my life and my spiritual journey. But yes, those would be accurate, I think, definitions.
Yeah. And you've just done so many different things in your ministry. You mentioned earlier that y'all were overseas. Wasn't your son born in Africa?
Right. So we went to Africa with two preschoolers and our last born, he was actually born in Africa. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you've been in Arkansas ever since y'all planted.
So after we were in Zambia, you know, you're planting churches, you're training pastors, and God kind of rewired or reshaped our thinking and our heart to reconsider what reaching unchurched back in America looked like. Because there's some things I think that we had our ecclesiology even wrong that kept people out of church. And then also to plant a church that would have that mission DNA that would raise up disciples who would, you know, go out globally or live here to get the gospel over there, whatever that might look like on a mission scale.
So when do you feel like you really started acknowledging to yourself that God had gifted you with leadership?
You know, I think when I first married Mike and he was, you know, leading one of the first churches that we were at, I always thought of myself more as a teacher and not necessarily as a leader. And as I began to, as we left that, we went to the mission field and I kind of assessed my life, my skills. You start asking the question, who am I?
Yeah.
What do I do? Then it kind of began to become clear to me that, you know, I'm natural at building, assessing, creating, activating. Activating would probably be the biggest word I would use. To create experiences or to move people. And sometimes it came across as teaching, which I would say is a gift, but not always. But definitely influencing people to move toward whatever is next in their life. And usually, you know, I'm always trying to point people toward mission and glory of God, activation, yes, for sure. But even like getting into scripture or making a decision or whatever that might be, it took me a while to figure that out though.
Yeah. So when
especially,
you're on,
especially in a women's context, because what does that mean?
Yeah.
In a women's context, you know, in a lot of places. And so I didn't know how to give teeth to that. And I didn't know how to be confident and comfortable in saying I'm a leader because I didn't know what that meant sometimes as a female. Teacher made sense. Encourager made sense. Giver made sense. Social justice made, like there's things that made sense, but just to say I'm a leader, to me didn't make sense. So I had a hard time just saying it.
Are you referring to the time before you went to the mission field, or was that more when you came back from the mission field that you were asking those questions?
Yeah, it was more when I came back from the mission field that I could look at some of the first churches that we pastored and some things that I did on the mission field that would fall into the leadership category. But I didn't know how to own that yet. I put it into other boxes or other categories or one-off type things, but not as an accumulation of all this adds up to, Lori, you are a leader and I've wired you and gifted you to be that way.
Mm-hmm. I remember you saying once that when you were on the mission field that you felt like you questioned a lot about your role, and if I'm really a leader, then shouldn't that be something that's seen, or whatever gifts I have that should be seen in some way. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yeah. So let me back up a little bit further, because even when I felt like, you know, as a teenager that God may be calling me into full-time ministry, as a woman, you know, 30 years ago, wrestling with that, it goes back to, I didn't know what that looked like in the landscape of things. And some people may say to me, well, maybe you'll be a pastor's wife. And yeah, this is where that leadership comes in, because my assessment was, well, that's not independent enough. That's what I thought. That's not real ministry. And then someone say, maybe you'll be on the mission field, to which I thought, that's obscure. Also that they were kind of boring and out of date, and I didn't want to do that. But you know, but really also came down to that obscurity, and I didn't know what that would look like. And in God's way, I ended up doing both, right? So we moved to the mission field, and I can remember really wrestling in my soul, because we have moved to a place where no one in our church is applauding us.
Yeah.
No one's cheering on, you know, my husband for the sermon he just did, or for that program I just led. We simply have raw ministry in front of us. And it became a quick lesson to me that leadership was not determined by a position. It wasn't determined by a paycheck. It wasn't determined even by a place. It was simply an opportunity that we step forward to in obedience to what God has put in front of us. And I think that it became really clear to me in a really simple story. It might not even make sense or be that big of a deal as you hear it, but Mike and I had gone out to this village about 7 hours away from our home. We're bumping along with our three kids. It's hot. It's a dusty road. We've got the windows rolled down. We're passing signs that say, you know, landmines, caution, because the Rhodesian War had happened like 25 years prior to us being there. And we're out in this village where Mike had gone once before. And Mike is meeting with the men, and I'm over here meeting with the women, and I am sharing the gospel, and they are hearing stories from God's word for the first time. My kids are all running around with the other kids in the village. I've got one tied to my back who's crying at the same time while I'm teaching. And yeah, so are the other moms and their kids, right? And we get done, and the women were so thankful and so excited, and it was obvious to me their joy, which brought me joy. They give me a chicken for just, you know, a thank you for being there, to which I was like, how do I hold this? I don't even know how to hold this. And yet, as we're walking away from this group, and I'm considering all the wrestling that had been going on in my soul and all the questions, well, I'm not really leading and feeling almost down, and I'm not really creating influence. I'm not really doing anything that's effective or making an impact that people can see. Mm-hmm. And yet I was walking away from that group with a chicken in my hand, two of my kids running at my feet, one tied on my back, thinking, this is it. This is it right here. And no one has a clue that we are out in this village doing that, this. And that's not the ingredients for teaching or leading. It's just simply that God uses our obedience and human activity. And in his sovereignty, he desires us to do those things for his glory, regardless of position or paycheck. It's just be obedient to what God's put in front of you. And so that's like a really small, obscure kind of story that's just between me and God almost. But that was a clear moment between me and God at that moment that, Lori, I've chosen you to do this. You be obedient and let me determine the outcome of the rest of the things.
Mm. So bringing that back to the States, was that helpful to you as y'all planted a church? And what were some of the, I'm sure that got tested, in other words, as you come back and you're starting something from scratch.
Very much so. So it was the best and the worst of a world, right? And so we come back, and you know how it is. God teaches you those things, and you think you've learned them once, and now it's almost like, okay, well, let's try that and give you opportunity to practice it. And so coming back and starting a church, it was the best in the sense that it gave me an opportunity to implement those builder type skills. Again, I didn't recognize it so much at the time, that I was more like an entrepreneur at spirit, you know, build up this ministry, hand it off, build up our media ministry, hand it off, build up our missions ministry, hand it off, build up our women's ministry, hand it off. And that's what I would do. So it was the best for me. And this is where the wrestling came in, because I would still assess it like, well, like, no, like, I'm not really employed. Like, I'm just doing these things for free. And so I can remember standing up at the front of our church and, you know, people are, you know, appreciating Mike and, you know, his leadership, and so thankful for the church that had been started. And this is embarrassing to say.
I know what you're going to say, because I think it too, but go ahead.
It's terrible, because I'm standing there and I'm thinking, yeah, but what about me? Like, he's been doing all this work, and I'm busting my tail over here to make things happen. Again, it goes back to that position, paycheck, you know, all these kind of things that we attribute to defining leadership.
Yeah.
That does not define leadership. And it's not even about you. It's not even about what you're doing, right? It's about the people. And yet those were hard lessons. And embarrassing ones to admit, but they define now, and actually in a good thing. So you had the best of the world, and then the nastiness of my own sin and thought nature, you know, taking place. And yet at the same time, I'm so thankful, because I think God took us through some lessons, took Mike and I both through some lessons, took me certainly through some lessons that were, they're those things that they're nothing you expect. They're everything that you need.
Yeah.
That then help equip you and fuel you to lead and exercise the gifts that he's given you. Yes.
Yeah. You could really see through those stories how he was honing your gift, and he's showing you the temptation of the gift, and he's showing you the importance and the significance of the gift, and using it according to how he wants you to use it. And that could go for any gift that anyone has, is there's going to be temptation in it no matter what. And we have to be on guard, and God will, I mean, I knew I, what you said is exactly what I,
so you did the same thing?
Yeah, I knew that's what you're going to say, because that's how I also have the gift of leadership, and I can see how God put me with a husband who is called into ministry and the gift of leadership, and we can do a lot together, but often I'm behind the scenes leading, and there's temptation in that for me, because sometimes I want the glory and I want the appreciation, and I want people to know what it took to get that church started, that now no one attributes to me. You know what I mean? So yeah, there's a lot of temptation in it. The unseenness is hard for someone with the gift of leadership. Do you think? Right.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But, and I don't think there's any, so let me say this way. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with trying to lead in front. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, but there's everything wrong with, you're not okay if you're leading from behind, or you're leading from the middle. Yeah. And that really comes back to the posture of a leader's heart. And I think God is, you know, even though you may be gifted in leadership, I think God is continually always trying to, you know, chip away some of those things, or to help us grow those leadership muscles by getting to those depths and cracks in our heart that feed the wrong motivation and postures.
Yeah. We keep talking about leadership, but I would love to know, when you use that word, can you help us know what that looks like in your life currently, in your church specifically?
Yeah. So I think that for me, that always looks different. And I don't feel like the shape of what that looks like always fits into the same, you know, square peg and round hole or type thing. And so it can look different. It has looked different based on seasons of life. It is so capacity in some sense. It's looked different based on whatever God may be doing or leading or teaching me. So competency. And then sometimes it has looked different based on even how I feel about it. So whether or not I've had confidence to step up into those kinds of roles. And so sometimes it has looked like, you know, building this ministry or help organize something. Cast vision for what can be done. But at the same time, especially if you're in a church setting and you're married to the pastor, I think that there's wisdom to exercise as a leader that you're training up other people and working yourself out of a job. Mm-hmm. So in that same thing where I was feeling like, well, I'm always doing this, handing it off, at the same time, I was training up people, and it was, that was a good thing because now there are people who can lead those things over here in Trailblaze. So, you know, what that has looked like in the past has been, you know, teaching in our women's ministry, leading in that, currently serving on what's called an innovation team, you know, in our church and speaking into what that looks like. And it can be even like recently, I just pulled together a team of 6 women that we do life together, working out, doing marathon training or triathlon training or something like that together. And we went on a mission trip. You know, half of them, that was their first time. And so leadership to me doesn't always have to be black and white. Actually, it's incredibly colorful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. We're talking also about leadership and women in the church. And you and I both are in a Southern Baptist context, a complementarian context. So I'm sure there's been some wrestling for you over the years of just how do I, as a woman, use this gift within the church in a way that holds to scripture in the way that we interpret it. I'd love for you to speak to that because there could be some people listening who are even uncomfortable with us using the word leadership and women in the same sentence in the church.
No, I think you're right. I think you could almost draw a line in the sand, and there's some that are on the side of they feel completely uncomfortable with it. Some on the other side are completely comfortable with it, but maybe sometimes we exercise kind of a strong arm in that approach to having that conversation when it comes to putting women and leadership in the same sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, let me say that, yeah, in the SBC, it's a different landscape, but I also am excited about the landscape that currently I think is shifting. I think there's a shift, you know, with the land underneath us and the way that we're able to walk out and begin to exercise some of that. Because I think that we have, if we're not careful, we have elevated certain roles that women can participate in. So we elevate and we even celebrate what we think are important. And so we could probably name what those are. It's usually teaching, maybe teaching children, maybe hospitality, or maybe being a missionary. And so this stream of where women have a place to exercise their gifts and especially in leadership can seem very narrow and maybe even dammed up a little bit. And so I think first that we as women have to begin to elevate and to celebrate where we see women exercising gifts, advancing the kingdom, furthering the kingdom of God. And that takes place in not just in these small kind of narrow boxes that we've built for women. Like it can be as creative as God is creative.
Yes.
And so I think that there are a lot more ways to explore, to push forward in for women to act as leaders in the church. And it doesn't mean that we're trying to usurp authority or to take over a man's role, or even to say we're just like men. What we're saying is God has created men and women in his image to complement one another in a way to serve one another and to serve people that advances his kingdom forward. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just beginning to see what that can look like.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's exciting. It's an exciting time to see that play out. It seems like that we've often put a gender to the role, to the gift of leadership, whereas the Bible doesn't put a gender on that, just has specific roles in the ways that we can use that gift. So yeah, I would love to hear from you just who women coming to mind in your church, what are the ways that they're using the gift of leadership that you see and you try to call out in them?
Right. So in our church, we kind of have two main domains, maybe that we call it. So we have a very corporate world, mm-hmm. and we have a very artsy world in our community. And so within that, you've got business women. Within this, you've got kind of this arts culture. And so we see women stepping up and even amplifying their gifts. You know, like these business women that now we're bringing them in to speak into, you know, our church's finances or We're training them up to not just be a leader in marketing at, you know, a company down the road, but they're helping speak into how we communicate and speak to our audience. So they're able to use their voice that way. They're able to use their leadership skills that way. And it's not just for, you know, this corporation, but we want to tap into those skills, you know, within our own church. Same thing when it comes to like the arts. So like within our church, we have an exhibit, actually, like our entire foyer area or hallway entrance area is actually an art exhibit. And so we bring in and highlight, you know, women who are using their gifts and talents, but they're doing it in a way, so whether it's photography or painting or whatever, but they're telling God's story and they're displaying maybe what things look like around the world. And so again, how we celebrate what women do, how we celebrate their gifts. Again, I think it can be as creative as God is creative.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. That's neat. Well, and speaking of your role, I'd love to kind of talk about that, your role with the IMB, uh-huh. the International Mission Board. You're mobilizing people to go on mission. So you said earlier, you mentioned the season of life. And I kind of think of, especially with leadership for women, that is something that that may be something that's brewing in us for a while. And I would imagine that's kind of what happened with you when you were overseas. And there's kind of this God taking you through things to show you that that's what your gift is. And then it's not always that we immediately know exactly how to use that gift of leadership. But now it's pretty clear to me that He has all along directed your steps and put you where you need to be. And especially now with this role that you have with the IMB, I would love for you to kind of talk about that, of how has God prepared you, and what are some of the things that you would want women to know who are younger, who may be thinking, I might have this gift, but I don't really know how to use this or cultivate this right now.
Yeah, no, that's good. And hindsight's 20/20. I mean, that's not a phrase unique with me or you, right? But I can look back now and even consider the times where I was frustrated, because I always felt like I had this kind of stirring within that I didn't know how to express without. And sometimes I would play even the blame game. Well, I can't use my gifts because I've got small kids. Mm-hmm. Or I can't use my gifts because we're stuck in this geography zone, you know, in Africa. Or I can't exercise this way, well, because my husband's doing this. And so there was always kind of these excuses. And yet now I can look back and in those times of even frustration, see that God had been using those as a crucible almost, to shape and form who I would be today and exercising where I'm at, even with the International Mission Board. So whether it was, you know, small times of building up a short-term team ministry, or whether it was learning how to navigate an international culture, or whether it was, you know, figuring out when we came back how to do graphic design. And I'm using all of those now. Mm. So whether it's marketing skills or international skills or some of the discipleship leadership type skills, I am taking every one of those and in a very unique situation, implementing those. I can remember once when we started our church and started up about 5 or 6 different ministries and handed them off, when I got down to the last one, which was women's ministry, and I love women. Mm-hmm. And I love even challenging them to consider their gift, right? And I thought God may be leading me to step away. I thought, well, what am I going to do? And I just began praying, God, I don't know what to do. But I feel like you're asking me to take this next step forward. And so I did, not knowing what I would step into next. And so in some sense, the job that I'm in currently found me. And all I was praying is, I know I have to be involved in leading. I know I have to be involved in leading women. I know I need to be involved in mission. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the very week that I actually told my husband, I think God's leading me away from women's ministry, is the very week that, you know, someone from the International Mission Board called and said, hey, would you be interested in this job? I didn't even know it existed. Mm. But I can look back all along and say, wow, God, like every time I was looking at it and, you know, I'd be thankful but frustrated, and then thankful but frustrated, and then thankful and frustrated, I can see that every one of those pieces He was putting together for what I am doing today.
Mm. I think that's so encouraging. That's encouraging to me. You've said that before, and it was really encouraging to me because I feel like I'm still I'm in that process of the frustrated, and I know I'm waiting on God, but he doesn't waste anything. I've learned that enough now to know he never wastes anything in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said you were wrestling with it, frustrated. Is because you don't know what your gift is, or is it because you do and you don't know how to exercise it? Like, I'm just curious, because that's one of my favorite questions to ask women is like, so what's your spiritual gift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what I'm gifted to do. I just don't know where he would want me to use that. Hmm. It's the same as you, where he asked me to release, start and release. I'm the same, been the same in church planting. So I've done a lot of helping things get going. And then I handed off something that I loved, but I knew it was time and I was ready. And I thought the next step would be pretty clear right away. And it hasn't been for a while. Hmm. And so that uncertainty, I hate that uncertainty. But I'm just now getting to the place where I've embraced the uncertainty, and I've embraced just like, do what's in front of me and God will make it clear.
Yes. I would like underscore highlight that. Like whatever's in front of you, like Solomon says, you know, whatever's in front of you, put your hand to it and do it with all of your might.
Yeah.
You know, he says that in Ecclesiastes 9. I would agree with that completely. I do love to ask women, what is your spiritual gift? That I think they know, but they just are uncertain, or they've got doubt or fear that's kind of laced into that. So, yeah. You know, take a multiple choice test if you want to figure out what your spiritual gift is. And if that's, you know, but even then when people do that, I think they still find themselves going, well, I think it's teaching, but I'm not really sure. And what they're really saying is, I think my gift is teaching, but I need you to affirm that it's teaching. And so I don't know why that we constantly stay in this zone of doubt and fear, except for just to say the enemy, because I think what God does is he gifts us, and at the same time that he gifts us, he's also wanting to grow that gift. And so he puts us into situations where we have to learn to develop some of those muscles and learn how to exercise them wisely. So like if my gift is encouragement, I may be great at, you know, pillow fluffing and speaking love to people, but I haven't yet completely learned how to speak truth in love. Mm. And so I think he puts us in situations to do that. Same thing with teaching. Maybe your spiritual gift is teaching and you're really great at gathering people and transferring knowledge, but you've really never got to the depths of maybe some broken places in your heart. So instead of what comes out is just knowledge, but it's wisdom and insight.
Mm.
And I think it's the same thing with leading. So as we're growing in those gifts, for me personally, it was that I'm gifted at leadership. And so I'm good at envisioning and building and creating and even trailblazing. But I had to build up the muscle of, when I do those things, it's not to build up something for me in my name, but it's to build up something for God in his name. And so I think we have to move forward in what's in front of us. Even if we're just like, oh, I think 80%, I think that's my gift. Well, I mean, really, what's the worst that could happen? You move forward with that gift and you begin learning what the Bible has to say about that gift and let the Bible inform that gift. And you go, yeah, that's not my gift. I mean, that's absolutely the worst thing that could happen. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
So is that, what would you say to a woman who is in that place where she's like, I think, or maybe she hasn't even said it out loud, but she's thinking it, but severely doubting herself, and just what do you say to those women?
Well, I think at first I think you have to get people to a point where they can speak out loud what they believe that God has gifted them, wired them, shaped them to be and do for his glory. I think you have to get them to speak it out loud, even if it's laced with doubt and fear behind it, right?
Yeah.
Then you identify with them in that fear, in that doubt, because we've all been there.
Yeah.
And so you identify with them in that. I would want to know, by asking questions, has there ever been a time in your life where someone has affirmed that in you? Like I can look back to my childhood even, you know, after I became a believer, how people would affirm leadership in me. I just didn't hear it that way yet.
Right,
so
right.
Back now. And so in some sense, get them to tell their life story and begin to draw out, like highlight those things for them that they may not see, or maybe they see, they just need somebody to do that. And then last, is I would point them to, okay, you think leadership, you think encouragement, you think mercy, giving, whatever is your gift. What does the scripture say about those things? Now you go and do a word study on what the scripture says about that. And then let's have a part two conversation, because what you're going to see is you're going to see them either like light up with what the scripture has to say about what they believe their gift is to be, or you're going to see that as they're looking for that, they're actually gravitating toward a different direction that may begin to reveal what their gift is.
Mm-hmm. I love how you're talking about calling other women out and saying, this is what I see. I think that's a part of the gift of leadership, that you can say, hey, you know, I think about a bus, like you belong in this seat on the bus. You are on the bus in this seat. Do you see it? Is so important, because I think a lot of times what we think is, we think what comes natural to us is what everyone sees and does. Right.
Right.
And sometimes I've been talking to this one girl in my church and I'm like, you know that not everyone sees this, right? You know that not everyone can do this, right? Like it is so clear to me that you have this gift. But she just thought, well, that's just who I am. She's never attributed it to, this is a specific way God would have me to serve.
Well, I think that's really good to point this and call those things. Matter of fact, we should be women who, no matter what your gift is, that we are pointing those things out to other women. Because, I mean, the reality is that as we're discipling people, as we're growing in our faith spiritually, that we all need to and should steward what God has gifted us. And so, like, as a steward, I mean, that can be a verb and a noun, both. So, you know, a steward as a noun is a manager, it's an agent, somebody who's responsible for something that's been entrusted to them. So then I have to steward, I have to put that into action and take responsibility for what God has gifted me to do. And with that comes some risk. With yeah. that comes a level of risk that we have to be willing to take.
Yeah, that is a good word. That is a really good word. Because I think we think it should just be, if this is really what I'm gifted at, it should be easy and there's no obstacles in front of me. And it's actually the opposite. Because God is going to test you to trust him with that, right?
Yeah, I was reading also Sam Sanders' book, Spiritual Leadership.
Yeah.
And there's a phrase that he's interviewing this guy at the end of his life. And he asked this guy about living his life. He said, is there anything that you regret? Mm-hmm. And this guy said, the only thing that were moments in my life when I lived insufficiently daring. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, if we took that and we made that phrase, like, let's live sufficiently daring, and we plugged it into this topic, into like what's our gift and affirming people in those gifts and taking risks to steward those gifts, that means we have to be a little bit daring. And even if you're not an adventurer, even if you're not, you know, a trailblazer personality type, there's still a risk that comes with the talent that God has given us. And we're either going to go over and bury it. Mm-hmm. As Jesus, when he talks about the talent, I had this one talent and I buried it, I kept it for you. But he was more pleased with the one, you know, he gave more to, who went out and invested. And that requires risk. And that requires a level of spiritual daringness in faith and trusting that God's giving me this. I'm going to do the best of my ability to move forward with it.
Yeah. And sometimes when we don't see any outcome or result that we hope to see, that we still can trust him that he did use it. We mm-hmm. may not see that, right? So as far as leadership goes, I would love to talk about how you lead yourself, because there's a lot of stuff in that just alone. As a leader, how do you lead yourself well? And what are some things that you've learned about leading yourself?
So first of all, leading yourself well, that's a whole nother podcast topic.
Yeah, it is.
That's a deep topic that I believe that any believer, so let's just say, even if your gift isn't leadership, any believer needs to have enough self-awareness to know that they have a part to play in leading themselves well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't know that leading yourself well was even a thing. Maybe until probably about 15 years ago. And I would say that I learned it the hard way, as most lessons come in life, right? So my ability to lead well came from really a place of brokenness first. And it took me getting to that place before I actually learned that leading yourself well was a necessity, period. I had a friend who, we did these like 360 evaluations. My husband and I were going to go to this leadership conference, and I thought I was going to get all these handouts that were going to make me this great leader. And instead, they started breaking apart like our family and our emotional health and our spiritual vitality. And I, you know, one of the things that they had read from a friend of mine that had made a statement about me was that I was like a poster child. And when I first heard that, the arrogant side of me thought, well, this is really cool. Like, I look, you know, I must look really great. You know, who doesn't want to be like a model on a poster? And then I recognized and realized what she meant by the, when it followed up with another statement that, Lord, you're so put together that you're hard to follow. And I thought, it took me a while to kind of dissect what that meant. But now I kind of understood that what I was displaying wasn't transparent. And how I was leading was almost too good to be true. Like, you don't say to people, hey, come with me as we fake it. You say, follow me and imitate me. And that's what people crave. But you can only say that if you first learn to lead yourself well. And the first step in learning to lead yourself well, I would say, would be to dive into the deep places of your soul. Where I think David wrote in Psalm, you know, bring my soul out of prison that I may give praise to your name, and let God begin to speak, to minister, to reveal, to heal, to restore some of those broken places in your heart. Because when you begin to lead from brokenness, that will be the most rewarding place of leadership that people actually can follow.
So you, when you say brokenness, meaning the authenticity of my relationship with God is real, and I am a fellow sinner in need of grace, and I'm seeking that. I'm following him, but I'm okay with you knowing that I need that grace. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So for me, yes. And for me also, it was a place of diving into some of my past story. It, for me personally, it meant actually going to a counselor that could help me untangle. And let me just say first, like, there was a part of me that was opposed to going to counseling at first because I was, you know, I wanted that poster child mentality. I didn't want to talk about broken things, but I would advocate that wise counsel is helpful and healthy. And so getting to a place for me where I had to get to some of those places in my past, honestly assess them, give forgiveness where it needed to be for, you know, given, heal where I needed healing, and allow, and not just like cover it up or whitewash over it. And so sin lived there, brokenness lived there, bitterness and anger and anxiety lived, fear lived there. And it was tied to lies that, you know, I had allowed Satan to allow to set up camp and take up territory in my heart that ought not be. And when you, when the enemy has territory of your heart and you're trying to charge forward with the kingdom of God, you have two opposing type things. And so you have to allow God to get with you into those deep places where transparency then, you know, can become a part of your story.
What about the area of rest and not doing? Because as a leader, we're like gung-ho, running forward, always moving, always doing. What have you learned about not doing in rest?
So rest for me has become one of those things that I recognize that when I'm not doing it is because I honestly haven't put God as Lord over all my life. If God isn't Lord over all my life, that's usually where I get in trouble and not resting. But I don't see it as that until usually I run into a brick wall. And that can be, you know, self-induced. It can be because I'm self-driven. Because I want, you know, to control all things. And I think that if I don't do it and get it right, it's not going to get done the right way. That if I think it doesn't reach a certain level, it's not good enough. And so I begin to create this energy and going all the time until finally I slam into a brick wall. And again, there's been self-induced. Those can be work-induced. you know, where schedule doesn't allow for you to take some of those breaks. But I have learned by overload and overweight and being overwhelmed and over anxious and anything else over you can think of, that those are areas that God wasn't Lord over in my life. And so, I mean, just honestly, that's a hard one still, even now. But I do know this, and I have to be proactive at it, that every day there has to be time that I have spent in not just a skimming over the word and a nod in prayer to God, but it has to be an in-depth time for me and God to be together in his word that informs how I'm living my life. Because I can get so high strung sometimes in my day, I even have my phone set, or an alarm will go off and it'll have what will pop up. It'll say verse or pray, whichever I've plugged it in. And I will either review that verse for 10 minutes that I've memorizing, or I'll just take time and stop and pray whatever it is that I'm working on at that moment. And it's hard to do because it's like, oh, I've got to deal with this. No, I don't. And so I put that into my day. And then also Sabbath has to come into play.
Yeah.
Being in the ministry, especially if you're married to a pastor, Sundays are a hard day for Sabbath. So Mike and I really, we take Sabbath not necessarily on Sunday.
Yeah.
So our Sabbath is usually on Saturday, where it's not work, it's rest, it's getting more into the word. The schedule is a little bit different, where we have time, which is a commodity.
That is so helpful, I think, to think about. I love how you said, God, if I'm not resting, it's because I'm not trusting that God is, like, God is God, that he's Lord over all things. That's been the case for me too. It's hard to trust that God's going to keep working even when we are resting or sleeping. So that's really helpful. Lori, thank you so much for your time and all that you've shared. It's just been fun to talk to you. It's always helpful for me because I think we're a lot alike in some ways. And so it helps me think through my own life. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. And hey, we do need, like, our paths should cross more often. So if we got to schedule some more, we'll do some fake podcasts just so we can have a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Lori.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks.
Isn't Lori great? I love her. Lori mentioned a few things in our conversation that you might find helpful. One is a spiritual gifts inventory. That's come up in a few episodes so far, and if you've never taken one, I've linked to some in the show notes. If you've never considered how God may have uniquely gifted you to serve others, that's a really great place to start. And then I would encourage you to speak with a few people who know you really well and ask them for their thoughts on your inventory results. Just recently, a friend of mine told me what she thought her spiritual gift was, and I was like, oh yes, that's exactly right. It was so clear to me, and I have benefited greatly from her gift. So it was so fun to have that conversation with her. Friends, join me next week as I speak with Dr. Russell Moore, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Dr. Moore is a brilliant man who consistently represents Christians well in the public sector, as well as speaking to Christians about how to think about modern ethical concerns. Many people say he is a needed prophetic voice, and I asked him about this. We talked about the gift of prophecy, what it is, how we can navigate discouragement and criticism, and how we can know we're being faithful to what God has asked us to do. I know you'll be encouraged by my conversation with him. Until then, friends, have a great week and keep walking forward by faith.